always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Now the question you kind of hinted at, Mike, with the redistricting that put Perdido Key and Inverarity and other parts of that area out of District 2 where it had been for a long time, do you think that we need to redistrict for those lines? Do you think that District 2 needs to reacquire Perdido, Inverarity, and that area? Mike?
That's a good discussion, and I'll tell you, when my district is so bizarre. It cuts out Grand Lagoon, it's half of Mayfair, half of Brownsville. I'm fine with some of it, but I do think when we do redistricting, it should be based on major roads as best as possible in neighborhoods instead of the way this is. I mean, you could have been blind with the coloring book of how they did District 2. It's that dysfunctional. So yeah, I think we need to look at that and make it more so people know where they live at least. I mean, you go through Mayfair, and I mean, we really split the neighborhood right through the middle. Same with Brownsville, me and Commissioner May. So it's bizarre. We do need to look at it.
So not taking a particular stance on the question of reacquiring Perdido and Inverarity, Mike Kohler, District 2 representative, but definitely advocating for having maps that make more sense and don't split communities in half. And that's long been, that's often perhaps always been an issue in drawing maps. Drawing maps is actually quite difficult. You might think that it's easy. It's really not. Glenn Dorsey running against him. This is at the forum that I was moderating for the Women for Responsible Legislation on Friday.
I do agree that we need to draw better lines in it. One of my concerns that I have for the county is that we have five separate kingdoms within the community without everyone looking for the best interest of the entire county. As an elected, hopefully elected official for the county here, I need to report to District 2, keep my District 2 residents happy. And it's the more that I can bring to the district, the more that I'm liked within that district without the consideration of what is the best interest overall of the county. So I think drawing some better lines would be helpful for us, but also really having the discussion, the communication about what is in the best interest of the entire county.
Yeah, this is one of the basic challenges of how Escambia County is set up. You have five districts to whom each of the county commissioners is responsible and accountable. And, you know, Lumen May there's nothing that people on the beach can do to him. If they want to vote for somebody else, they can't. If people in Perdido don't like Stephen Berry, well, tough. Nothing. There's zero you can do. You can give money, but that's it. You cannot vote for those people. And so if Steve Stroberger decides to do something that the people in the city of Pensacola hate, tough. There's nothing you can do about that. You cannot vote for him or against him. You cannot rally the residents of East Hill to, you know, vote for his opponent. And same for all of them across the spectrum. And that's what Glenn Dorsey is getting at, is the at-large concept, which is what Santa Rosa County does, where everybody votes for everybody. You have to live in your district, but then everybody votes for everybody, and so it doesn't really matter as much. They're accountable to the whole thing. Now, the trade-off, and in case you don't know much of the history here, it's worth talking about it for a second. The trade-off is that in Escambia County, where you go back 100 years, or really 120 years, Escambia County was actually more than majority black. It was right at, but a little bit above. And then in the next 20 years or so, a lot of blacks led. Like, the population of black residents in Pensacola and Escambia County dropped significantly. And now it's somewhere around 20%. About a fifth of the county is black. And the problem that Escambia County had was that you could not get anybody who was black elected, because the whites would vote against the blacks. I mean, that's the history of our county. So there was a Supreme Court case, you might have heard of this, the McMillan case, where basically black residents sued and said that their vote was being diluted because even though they represented a fifth of the county, they couldn't get anybody elected to county government. They couldn't get anybody elected to the school board, and they couldn't get anybody elected in the city of Pensacola. It was a three-part lawsuit dealing with all of these areas. The result of that, it's a little bit complicated, but here's the shortest version I can give you. The lower appeals courts ruled that Escambia County was racist and that they had done this either intentionally and or with the effect of and or after the effect was known, even if it wasn't being done intentionally, it was left in place for the purpose of racial disparity. And therefore, Escambia County was in violation of the Constitution, things like the 15th Amendment. Then the Supreme Court heard that case, the McMillan case, and ruled on it in 84, early 84. And what they decided, and by the way, like along the way, there were commissioners removed. I mean, it's kind of a big drama. But what the Supreme Court ruled was, though the lower courts said it violates the Constitution, that's not the question they should have been answering, because you don't want to have to answer constitutional questions if you can answer statutory questions. And the statute in question was the Voting Rights Act, which had recently been amended, had that provision in it, Section 2, that had to do with race and the use of race in terms of, you know, not being adverse towards race in any particular district drawing. So they sent it back to the lower courts and said, focus on the Voting Rights Act first. If that doesn't give you an answer to end the racial disparity going on in Escambia County and the city of Pensacola, come back to us and we'll figure it out. But basically rule on that. Well, the lower court said, oh, yeah, I mean, this is clearly violating the Voting Rights Act, Section 2. Therefore, you've got to do something which at that point was not able to be done in Escambia County, which is go to single-member districts. I'll explain more in a second, because understanding the history is actually pretty important to understanding where we are today. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, State Road 87 and Nichols Lake Road in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. Also, a traffic light out at Michigan Avenue at Gulf Manor. That becomes a four-way stop until further notice. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So, interesting thing is, in the state constitution, it specifically says that all counties will have at-large commissioners. That's what you're supposed to have. That's the default. So Santa Rosa County isn't doing anything special by having at-large districts. They're just doing what the state constitution prescribes. Now, there are about 20, it's actually kind of hard to get a number on this, somewhere between 20 and 23 counties that have single-member voting. Some of them are because they went with a charter county, and some of them are by court order. Okay, Escambia County is actually by court order. From, again, 1984. So the issue is that in the state statutes, in the Constitution, Section 124.01, it specifically says there's going to be five commissioners in each county, and each one is number one to five, equal proportional representation. They have to live in their district, but everybody votes on everybody. So at large is the default. If you want to move to single voter, which is what we have in Escambia, you have to have a referendum in the county. And if the county says yes, then you can go to single member. You can also go to what's called the hybrid system, which is single member plus two at large. You know, kind of the way the city used to do it, if you want to think of it sort of like that. Numbers are different, but that's the same idea. So you can go to five plus two, but either way, you have to have a referendum to do that. Well, that sounds great, except that was actually put in place by racist, white, Southern Democrats in the, you know, the early part of the 1900s to prevent single member districts. Because if we're so racist that we're not going to elect any blacks, and the history is true about that, then also we're not going to approve a referendum that's going to give us single-member districts where we're going to elect blacks. So what seems like a permission was actually an inhibition, a barrier. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court said, the lower courts found, and then they said, okay, but don't deal with the constitutional issue. Look at the Voting Rights Act. So the lower court, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, they looked at the Voting Rights Act and they said, oh, yeah, clearly Escambia County is and the city of Pensacola are doing this wrong. They are using the district drawing in order to keep black people from having representation on these various governmental bodies. You have to have single voting districts. And so in the city of Pensacola, you had districts 5 and 7 created, and in the county you had district 3 created, which were majority minority districts designed to give black people representation in the city council government, in the county commission government, and in the school board. Okay, that brings us up to today. Now, if you've been paying attention, class, here's where it gets interesting. What did the Supreme Court rule on recently? You know, the Voting Rights Act, the racial drawing of districts in Louisiana, particularly, so that black people would have more representation in Congress. Same questions being played out in Alabama now. All right. They said what? only under very certain limited circumstances are you allowed to, you know, draw districts to benefit blacks. Generally speaking, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act has been, it hasn't been wiped out, but it has been, you know, largely deemed to be unconstitutional. I mean, they did enhance it by clarifying it, but they also clarified it to the point where you're really not supposed to use race anymore unless you're actually using race to compensate for how racism was done before. Okay, so if our single-member voting districts in the city and the school board and the county commission are based on the Voting Rights Act Section 2, and the Supreme Court has said the Voting Rights Act Section 2 doesn't really apply the way you think it does anymore, that would seem to mean that we have to go back to having at-large elections because we have not had a county referendum. And in order to legally have single-member voting districts, you'd have to have a county referendum. You follow the issue here? So it's not just a matter of what would be right for us to do. It's what Calais took away the court order of McMillan. At least that's my read. I might be wrong. I certainly am not a, you know, licensed bar member. But you could make that argument that we're not even legal in having single-member voting districts right now under the Florida Constitution. But you have the additional question of, well, whether we should. Is it good for us to have single-member districts? Because if you don't have single-member districts, then are we ever going to have any black people or Democrats either on the county commission, the school board, or, you know, the city of Pensacola? Pensacola is kind of more interesting because maybe you would, okay, if you had at-large instead of separate. But I don't know that the state constitution requires it the same. I don't think that's how that works. But at the county commission level and the school board level, that is definitely how that works. So I asked that exact question of them, you know, at the meeting. And, you know, we got a variety of answers on this. And I did not, I've been looking at the state constitution to figure out how this works. I wasn't yet aware of that issue with it not really being a court order anymore, that McMillan might be moot at this point because of the changes in the Voting Rights Act implementation. Anyway, so I asked them this question. We'll talk about it next hour a little bit. We'll come back to this at 7:10. But I wanted you to get the framework. And there's real political consequences at stake here because, you know, how you campaign. Like, if we went to being an at-large, you know, you could make the case that candidates would really only have to go to, you know, maybe certain high concentration, high participation areas, you know, maybe right around Tate, maybe, you know, that vicinity, the Perdido Key. There are some areas that participate highly and have a lot of money, maybe, and you wouldn't have to go to the whole county. Kind of like how James Caulkins, when he was elected in the north end of Santa Rosa County, primarily campaigned in the south end, you know, like Navarre and Midway. Why? Lots of people, lots of money, campaign there, and you can win, even though that's not the district he represents. Well, that's a problem. The second problem, the more obvious problem, is, you know, what would happen to our county if black people felt like they had no representation? Or Democrats, same thing, felt like they had no representation because the system was designed to prevent them from having a say. Well, you know, that's how it is in a lot of counties in Florida right now. But we have a unique situation given our historic racism and the higher percentage of black slash now Democrat, wasn't always, but now slash Democrat voters in the county. And what would that mean for their participation in the system? By the way, one other, just a quick note, just as a side note, I mentioned the other day, we were talking about some of this and I mentioned that black voter registration is actually lower proportionally than whites in Florida. And the court decision, as I was reading it from the Fifth Circuit, the McMillan, like the remand decision, they had a really interesting observation. I hadn't really thought about this before, is that one of the arguments by Escambia County, the bad guys, if you want to think of it that way, in the court case was, well, blacks can register to vote. Yeah, but why would you even bother registering to vote when you operate within a system where you think you cannot win because that system is so geared against you because of the way things are elected at large? That was one of their observations, is the complaint that they should register more and are underrepresented based on their population is their own fault. Yeah, because they're not stupid. They realize there's no point to voting in a place where they don't have any say. Which is, I mean, that's a fair observation. 623 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
One of my favorite moments is when a business owner sees our ADX Digital Toolbox and they sit back in their chair and they have this look of surprise on their face and they say, I had no idea you guys did all of this. We have 19 ways to deliver your message to your specific audience inside your geographic footprint with reporting that proves its effectiveness, all for less than you might expect.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Now, A.A. Ron, where are you? Where is A.A. Ron right now?
Sitting right next to D-Nice. 625 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. PJ has got traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Scambia County's tax base. Still working that vehicle crash, State Road 87 and Nichols Lake Road in Milton. No roadblock there. Also, a traffic light out Michigan Avenue at Gulf Manor. That's a four-way stop until further notice. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you have work needs to be done on your air conditioning system, you know, we're not still not quite into the hotness, but, you know, we're pretty close to it. And, you know, if you need work to be done, especially if you're wanting to get a new system before the hot really begins of the summer, or you need work on the heating portion, you know, maybe you're not using that as much right now, but, yeah, you never know. Plumbing, electrical, a generator as we get into hurricane season. Maybe that's something you've been kind of, you know, thinking about for a long time and never done. Well, Peden can take care of all of that stuff. All the complex systems within your house, they can work on. You know, Robert Peden started this company in 1969, Panama City, air conditioning in the summer in Panama City. Made sense. Eventually expanded in product line to all of those things. Also geographically to Tallahassee, to Pensacola, to Baldwin County, to Mobile. All along the Gulf Coast, good people installing good products, 100% satisfaction guarantee for all of the things you need inside your home. And right now, this spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with any new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That includes scheduled maintenance, of course. Priority service, that means you go to the head of the line when there's a problem. You know, and if there's a big problem that everybody's responding to, being at the head of line helps. 15% off repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, protests are breaking out in Havana after Cuba has run out of fuel. Cuba's energy minister told state media Wednesday that the country ran out of oil and has no reserves, putting their national grid in a critical state. And a New York man has been convicted of running a Chinese spy operation in Manhattan. WABC says that 64-year-old Liu John Wang was convicted Wednesday of acting as an illegal foreign agent and destroying text messages from a Chinese government handler. Prosecutors say Liu and his co-defendant started a secret police station there in Chinatown. And a majority—
That's not okay.
Apparently not.
You can't have a secret Chinese police station inside an American city?
Apparently that's frowned upon.
It's like nobody can have fun anymore. All right,
Hugh
go
George
on.
Costanza. Was that wrong? and a majority of Americans say they oppose construction of data centers in their local areas. New polling from Gallup shows 7 in 10 Americans oppose the data center projects. 48% say they are strongly opposed.
Oh, by the way, yesterday when we were talking about the building the data centers in space, and I said, oh, great, we're going to build the AI their own homeworld and base ship or whatever.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
So they don't care about us. Somebody went up to me and said, we're literally building them Cybertron.
long as we don't
put the home world of the Decepticons is gonna, or the Transformers, I don't know.
Don't put lasers on that thing, whatever you do.
Well, where do you think Trump is gonna base his $1.2 trillion Golden Dome? It's gonna be on the data center. So, you know, Skynet will not only have a home off planet, that they will have weapons to use, you know, space-based interceptors, lasers and rockets and things. And, I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Just give them the nukes, too. Let's go.
That's right. Yeah. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 629 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. But it's a history fiction lesson, but do you remember in War Games why they put the machines in charge of the silos? You remember? Because too many humans wouldn't turn the key. The premise was the humans were an unreliable link. They were the weak link in the system of starting a nuclear war or responding to a nuclear war that somebody else starts. So the idea was is that the machines are more reliable. You know, they can write your essay better than you. They can draw the picture better. That's really starts to look more like prophecy than it does fiction. Oh, and by the way, David was mentioning the secret New York police station run by the Chinese. Did you see the story about the mayor in California who has now brought an indictment from the Justice Department, charged with one count of acting in the United States as an illegal agent of a foreign government? She faces a statutory maximum of 10 years in federal prison, a town about the size of Pensacola. It's like 50,000 people. And, she's elected in November, and I guess now she's resigned. The city is Arcadia, 13 miles outside of L.A. in the San Gabriel Valley. So it's weird, you know, the Chinese, it's almost like they're trying to influence us a lot, all the time, as they're stealing stuff from us a lot, all the time. We'll see what Trump gets done over there.
News, I'm Gian Gelosi. President Trump attending a state banquet on his first full day in China.
I want to thank President Xi, my friend, for this magnificent welcome. And it really was a magnificent welcome like none other.
The fine dining coming after bilateral talks.
They talked about expanding market access for American businesses into China. They also talked about wanting more progress on stopping the flow of fentanyl. That's something the president brought up. Now, the Chinese purchases of American agricultural products was also something that was brought up. And President Xi expressed interest in purchasing more American oil.
That's Fox's Aisha Hosni. The British military says a ship anchored off the east coast of the United Arab Emirates has been seized and is headed towards Iranian territorial waters. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, it's a beautiful start to our day. 64 degrees. We've got clear skies this morning. The Century Town Council has decided to apply for $1.2 million state housing grant, promising to rehabilitate 7 homes rather than risk overcommitting and having to pay the money back. The council reaching a consensus this week after weighing the trade-off between promising more homes for better competitive scoring versus staying within realistic budget limits. Current estimates put full demolition and reconstruction at $140,000 to $150,000 per home. New trial date has been tentatively set for August 17th for former Escambia County Sheriff's Deputy Greg Nesmith, who's charged with 2 counts of vehicular homicide and the deaths of 2 20-year-olds in a Perdido Key crosswalk back in July. Nesmith has pleaded not guilty in the deaths of Nicole Moore and Jackson Cunningham of the Birmingham area, who were struck while crossing Perdido Key Drive July 5th. In a related civil case, both wrongful death lawsuits have been amended to add Florida Power and Light and signal contractor Ingram Signalization. Milton Police Chief Jennifer Frank wasn't at this week's city council meeting. She was in Washington, D.C., representing every law enforcement officer in Florida. Mayor Heather Lindsay told the council why she wasn't there.
And Chief Frank is not an invited speaker tonight because she is in Washington, D.C., representing our wonderful city during National Police Week. We are so proud that she's there.
And Lindsay says that Frank was called to Washington by Senator Ashley Moody and was selected while there to give a speech on behalf of Florida law enforcement leaders. A candlelight vigil honoring fallen officers also took place last night at the National Mall as part of that week. Mayor Lindsay said that photos have been posted on the Milton Police Department Facebook page for people who want to see some images from the National Police Week festivities there. Changes are coming to the local shellfish scene. News Radio's Chris Bryan says some water quality issues have forced closures.
The Escambia Bay shellfish harvest area is now closed. Florida's Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services has shut down that area for harvesting oysters, clams, and mussels, affecting parts of Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. WKRG is reporting the closure does not apply to scallops, shrimp, or crabs. Officials say changing water quality conditions triggered the shutdown. The bay will be tested regularly, and once the water meets required standards, the area will reopen and a notification will go out. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Well, it seems like Florida might be making a bit of progress in its war on fentanyl. Governor DeSantis saying yesterday there's been a significant decline in fentanyl and opioid-related deaths across the state. Data from the FDLE shows that fentanyl and opioid-related deaths are down across the state, dropped more than 40% from January through June of 2025. All drug-related deaths were down almost 20%. The governor said it proves that states can successfully fight fentanyl and the cartels. It's 6:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. There is also a traffic light out Michigan Avenue at Gulf Manor. That's a four-way stop until further notice. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will be seeing sunny skies today with a high near 84 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Keeping sunshine around on your Saturday with a high near 82 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 66 degrees right now. Clear skies this morning. Your next news at 7. And breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Versant, the portfolio of TV networks, including CNBC and MS Now, reported first quarter earnings this morning. Revenue was down 1% as linear distribution and advertising declined during the quarter, a continued sign of pressure on the pay TV business. Revenue from content licensing and digital platforms, however, was up year over year. Burberry said this fiscal year marked a meaningful inflection point as it posted quarterly results, boosted by the important Americas and China markets. Comparable sales grew 2% over the fiscal year. Full-year revenue came in largely in line with expectations at $3.25 million, flat at constant exchange rates. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said on CNBC that the U.S. can talk to China about artificial intelligence because, quote, we are in the lead. Bessent added that the two countries would establish a protocol for AI safety as well. Futures are moderately higher after the S&P 500 and NASDAQ reached new record highs. Dow futures up by more than 300 points. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Happy anniversary!
This June, Osceola Golf Course turns 100 years old. Step into a century of stories with friends and family at Osceola Golf Course. Join Osceola Golf Course for the centennial celebration June 5th through 7th with a story slam, great food, and a free family golf clinic. All weekend, don't miss the $100 tee time special. Range balls included, up to four players. Osceola Golf Course, 100 years strong and still swinging. Osceola Golf Course is owned and managed by Pensacola Parks and Recreation. Visit OsceolaGolf.com for more information.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
Alex Andrade, do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage?
The first question, yes, I think it addresses race-based maps. It complies with the Clay decision, and it provided the justification to pass the map yesterday.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm not really big on like how award shows all of a sudden start talking about saving the Badgers and stuff. It's like you'll get your, like Ricky Gervais said, yeah. It's like get your little award and off, you know?
We're right.
All right. Billy Bob Thornton goes on a podcast with Howie Mandel. So an actor talking to a comedian, allegedly comedian. Anyway, no, Howie was funny back in the day. And he says he's not a big fan of the politics at award shows or actors doing politics in general. Howie says...
We do. Gives us a platform.
Yes.
But that platform, you know, as you said, Save the Badgers or telling people who to vote for or whatever. Right. I mean, who the... It's people put some gravitas on mm-hmm. people who are really good at pretending.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not, it's just pretending, you know, whether you're acting, whether you're performing, whether you have a great imagination and you could write, that doesn't really, that shouldn't be who you look to for advice.
Oh, careful, Howie. They're going to accuse you of being an elitist, an aristocrat, believing that some people are experts and other people are not, and that just because you are good at pretending to be a character, you're not knowledgeable about politics. How dare you? By the way, this might wind up in tomorrow's Transgressors Memorial Service. Early service, 6:20. Late service, 8:20, when I pretend to be a woke pastor canceling the things of this week that need to be canceled. So Howie's like, look, we're not experts in politics.
We are experts in, just like the person that's listening, is being human.
Yes.
So if you could be open and share who you are, how you feel, how you cope, that's definitely going to do something.
That, I think, to me, is way more important than an actor or actress or musician telling people, like you said, who to vote for, because it's like... I mean, some guy's on the fence, you know, and it's like, well, Dash Riprock said it on the Golden Globes, so I'm voting for, you know, it's like, I don't know anything about politics. I have no idea. I mean, and the stuff that I believe about it, I don't want to force it down somebody else's throat because I'm not an expert on that. What I am an expert on is having this
and you're an expert on you and being a human.
Right, exactly.
I remember I once
Dash had- Riprock says, vote for candidate A and people do it. Yeah, no, he's exactly right. We're, you know, actors, comedians, actually of all of the genres of performers, I actually think comedians are probably the closest because they're usually very smart. If they, I'm generally write their own material. Or at least had to in the beginning if they don't currently. They are usually paying a lot of attention. They may not necessarily be experts in the sense that you want them teaching poli-sci at UWF, But then again, I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't want Robert De Niro or George Clooney teaching poli-sci at UWF either. Well, it might be well-attended, but it would not be an expert opinion. It's irrelevant. The fact that they're popular, the fact that they, you know, get asked to go on late-night shows is irrelevant to them having expert, well-seasoned, well-informed views on complicated matters like politics. But they have a platform and they use it. And Howie and Billy Bob are basically saying, "This is idiotic. Would you seek these people for their real estate advice just because they're famous? Would you seek these people for your legal advice or their medical advice because they're famous? It's just as dumb to seek their political advice." The one difference is that the average American is not a doctor, a lawyer, or a realtor. The average American is political because we are in a democracy and everybody having opinions matters. But we'll get to that in a minute. Last clip from this is Howie talking about, you know, the gravitas effect or viewing actors as leaders, influential. You know, we don't have a royal system in America, but we do have actors and, you know, actresses and singers, right? They're the kind of like our royalty, our monarchy, our, you know, influential people whose marriages and breakups and children we pay more attention to.
The fact that people put so much gravitas out of this group of people that pretends things,
right?
You know, because you played a doctor doesn't mean you are a doctor. Just because you played a hero doesn't make you a hero. Yeah. And the people that listen to you, they really, no matter how much we talk, they don't know us. You know who knows you. It's such a small circle of people that know you.
Yeah.
Know you enough to trust you in your opinion.
Yes.
You
know?
And that's part of the point, too, is we put confidence in these people that we know almost nothing about who they really are, let alone whether they're qualified or experts in political matters. But character-wise, you don't know anything about these people. You know they're good pretenders, which is another way of saying they're really good liars. You know, I mean, acting is lying. I mean, that's what you're doing is you're pretending to have emotions and thoughts that are not yours. You're pretending to be a character that's not you. That's lying. We'd call that lying in other circumstances. The difference is, theoretically, we as the recipients of the lie know that it's a lie, and we enjoy the lie, and we're, you know, enthralled by the lie. But they're good liars. They're good pretenders. Does that mean that their political opinions matter? Well, no, and that's kind of the point. Again, would you hire them to teach your community college or your university class in politics? And the answer is no, but certainly not. Unless they had independent qualifications that led you to believe that they were really savvy about these things, and yet we listen to them, or some people listen to them, or they're offered the opportunity to speak about these things, or they take the opportunity to speak about these things. My own view on this is that the reason actors speak out so much on politics is because they know they're a fraud. I'm not against that. I love good entertainment. But they hate the fact that people adore them for performing somebody else's script, as opposed to being adored for performing your own script. You know, when you're celebrated and cheered and people pay lots of money and want your autograph for reading the words that somebody else wrote, it's not super satisfying as a human. What is super satisfying as a human is when you perform your own words and people vote for you or give you money or come to listen to you speak, right? That feels great. So actors are always dealing with this kind of mask problem where people love the what's not them, and they want to be loved for who they are. And so they speak about politics because they're trying to get some real feel, you know, real support. And that leads them to overcompensate in that regard to make up for the fact that people love them for basically lying for a living. But we'll come back to this because there was some follow-up, and we'll get to it in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay Winter Barbary, 477-8782. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now, not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Okay, so, you know, you heard kind of the setup. You heard the way that, you know, Billy Bob Thornton and Howie Mandel are both basically saying the same thing here.
I don't know anything about politics. I have no idea. I mean, and the stuff that I believe about it, I don't want to force it down somebody else's throat because I'm not an expert on that.
So The View, how do you think a bunch of ladies who are famous as actors or actresses and are asked routinely daily to comment on matters of politics and current events, how do you think they're going to react to this? I mean, this is not a hard prediction to make, right? Okay, especially Whoopi and Joy and Sonny. We'll see about Sarah and Alyssa, but here you go. This is Whoopi and Joy.
All right. Yeah. Well, imagine bragging about how uninformed you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think he's saying more, it's like, I'm not an expert, so my opinion,
no,
like...
I don't know anything about politics. You're an American citizen. Don't you watch the
well,
news?
I would
don't
say
you
that
read the paper? Come on.
It's a direct assault on Joy Behar's very identity. You're telling me I shouldn't talk about these things because I don't know and I'm not an expert? Well, I mean, if you're an expert, you're an expert. I mean, that's fine. You know, but if you're just a celebrity and that's why you have a position of influence, yeah, well, that doesn't mean anything. Sarah Haynes.
I do think the civic participation, our vote is a privilege that so many have died for and fought for, that to be participating in our political structure, you need to inform yourself enough to vote. I don't think that every celebrity needs to scream from the mountaintop what their thoughts are, because I'd much rather see them march door to door and recruit people voting in your local government, helping people.
Man, that is such an interesting, nuanced presentation that you need to know enough in order to be able to vote. But knowing enough to decide your own vote is not the same as being justified in persuading other people to come to your side. Now, it is certainly your right. It is certainly, I mean, that is the core of the First Amendment, is protected political speech. If you want to go share your stupidity with other people, that is entirely your right, even on social media. Although I'm not sure I believe everybody ought to have the kind of amplification that social media gives. Not everybody ought to own a radio station, TV station, and so forth. A newspaper, which is what you do across every platform. Okay, but having some restraint, you know, having some humility about the virtue of your own ideas, such that you might say, well, I think I know enough about this to vote. I don't know that I should be out there advocating for other people to change their minds. I'll engage with other people. I will talk to them. But, you know, going up on a stage and grabbing a microphone and telling people they're stupid if they don't vote for X, you know, you ought to maybe not rush into that. Like, you ought to be more respectful of the power you command when you have a platform, Sarah's saying. Joy Behar.
But they have an influence. I mean, Springsteen right now and Robert De Niro
have
big audiences. So does John Voight and Kid Rock, okay?
No, they have audience.
All of them have the right to speak out.
They do.
Platform.
See, and applauding them, though, are people that agree with them.
So... there are two different issues here. Joy is arguing for the right. Right? You have the right to speak. You certainly do. But ethically, should you use every form of power at your disposal to accomplish your personal opinions? You see, when I say it that way, it starts to sound a little bit weird. Because, for example, the same people who are here saying that the celebrities should use their influence... why are they saying that? Because, they agree with the celebrities, right? But also, these same people would say things like, you shouldn't use the law to try to force people to behave a certain way. You shouldn't use your power through the power of politics, which is how you make laws, to try to coerce people's lives. And yet, when it comes to somebody who's a celebrity, I would say abusing their platform to try to manipulate people into behaving a certain way, again, it is their right, but it doesn't make it good. Something can be your right and not be good at the same time. It's actually, there's a longer, much longer conversation we could have about this. Typically, when you do something that's really virtuous, you defend it by saying it's really virtuous. And when you're doing something that you can't, because it's not the best, typically the way you defend that is saying you have a right to do it. When people use the phrase, I have a right to do it, they're acknowledging that ethically they probably shouldn't. But you can't stop them. Because when something's really right to do, you explain why it's really right to do. You don't bother saying you have a right to do it. You don't bother saying, well, you can't stop me. What you say is, you should join me because this is so good. So when people start resorting to the argument that, well, they have a right to use their platform that way, I mean, yeah, okay, true. That's not the same as saying it's good. Now, I think that Joy Behar would say both. She would say that they have a right and also it is good for them to use it in this way. But as, you know, a contrary voice is going to come up here in a second, Alyssa Farah Griffin is going to say, you remember when George Clooney wrote that opinion piece about how Joe Biden shouldn't run for president again and he should drop out and get out of the way? And y'all scolded him? Are you really sure you believe in all the celebrities? Or do you only believe in the celebrities using their platform when it's your view?
I say, okay, A, Billy Bob Thornton's one of my favorite actors. I'm never going to say a bad word about him, starting with that. But B, a lot of this table criticized George Clooney when he wrote his Biden op-ed.
That is
a celebrity using his voice, saying what he believes. Fine. It can't just be when they agree with your position.
He can say it and I can criticize
but here's
it.
What
That's called free speech.
I think that oftentimes we give too much weight to what celebrities say when they wade into things. I care way more about, honestly, I call it slacktivism. If you get on social media, you do your post and you're like, I did my part because I have a million followers. No, go door to door, get involved in your community, get deeper on the issues. But I don't think we should bully people into saying you have to speak out.
No, it's a litmus test.
It's a litmus.
And I got to say, I loved what Whoopi Goldberg said at the end. Not loved it like I think she's right. Loved it. I thought it was so funny.
Okay. Yeah, we need okay. As one who can actually speak to this.
I can actually, I'm the expert here. Okay, all right. Do you have a separate chair for that ego?
You have every right to feel how you feel. Celebrities cannot go door to door to people's houses
really?
Because it's hard to do.
Oh, that's the best unintentional insult I have ever heard. Celebrities can't go door to door because that's actually hard to do.
Celebrities cannot go door to door to people's houses
really?
Because it's hard to do. So people can do their thing the way they can do it and be grateful that someone is doing stuff.
I love that line. Celebrities aren't capable of going door to door. That's too hard for them. Let them pretend to be experts. They're good at pretending. 654 on News Radio 92.3. As I say, this may wind up in Transgressors tomorrow. It will be. All right. if you're thinking about buying or selling a home and you want somebody who is genuinely an expert at this, who is actually very, very good at this, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they sold 209 homes last year. That's 4 a week on average. That's a lot. That's all the way through to closing. That's not just putting it up a listing, not just having open houses, not just getting it under contract, but actually closing the deal 209 times, which is amazing. That's an amazing level of success. Now, why is she different? I mean, there's thousands of reasons why. You know, everybody's got their own advantages, but for me, I've known Christine a long time, and I think it's her passion for helping people, learning and listening and becoming a genuine expert on something. And that shows up not just in general about real estate, but about any particular domain in real estate that, like, I don't know how to do that. I'll try it, and then we'll become experts about it. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. All right, PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. 9 miles accident-free. Highway 90 is clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's another gallery night, Friday evening in downtown Pensacola from 5 till 9. This month, celebrate Fiesta Italiana. Saturday and Sunday from 9 till 6, check out the Asian Pacific American Festival at the Phil-Am Cultural Center on West Oakfield. Experience the sights, traditions, and flavors of Asia and the Pacific during this family event. Free admission, see philampicola.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
What an imbecile. What an ultramaroon. Uh-oh.
I do imagine, although I have not gotten this text, I do imagine that somebody says, well, you know, what entitles you to pretending to be an expert on matters of politics and the law? Well, first of all, I always try to watch both sides and represent both sides as fairly and honestly as I can. But second of all, I mean, I do actually have a degree in philosophy and political science and another degree in philosophy. So I don't know that that makes me the best expert in the whole wide world. But, you know, you judge for yourself. I'm not parlaying my waitering and bartending talents into talk radio, if that's what you're worried about.
Or Congress.
Or Congress, that's right. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping toasting each other at a state banquet in Beijing. She talked about the importance of the U.S.-China relationship and said the world would be better served with the two countries as partners rather than rivals.
What are Xi's preferred pronouns?
You got me there.
I know. Go on.
Protests breaking out in Havana. Cuba has run out of fuel. Cuba's energy ministry telling the state media there on Wednesday that the country ran out of oil and apparently has no reserves and says their national power grid and fuel grid is in a critical state.
You have to believe that when Trump and Team Trump got this news, they're like, yep, that was the goal. I mean,
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
That's the goal with the embargo and Venezuela, and now we'll see what happens in Cuba. The 54th state, maybe.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
We must make our relationship work and not mess it up. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what China's leader said at a state banquet with President Trump.
Achieving the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation and making America great again can go hand in hand.
Then Xi Jinping offered a toast to prosperity. The president used the same word in his toast.
Together we have the chance to draw on these values to create a future of greater prosperity, cooperation, and happiness.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich reports from Beijing.
That followed a meeting between them where they discussed ways to expand market access, cooperation between the two countries. The Strait of Hormuz, the Iran war, Taiwan all came up, but they were not addressed in the remarks at the state banquet. The statement, though, from the White House on the topic of Iran gave us a little bit more background on maybe the more tense topics behind closed doors. It said the two sides agreed that the Strait of Hormuz must remain open to support the free flow of energy.
And as Fox is Trey Yingst reports from Tel Aviv, that's a big deal.
The Chinese are the largest importer of Iranian crude oil in the world. And when we look at Iranian military action in the Strait of Hormuz and the country's nuclear program, these are both directly funded by those oil exports. Reports this morning indicate Iran has seized another vessel off the coast of the UAE. Secretary of State Marco Rubio told Fox's Sean Hannity that the Chinese should play a more active role in getting Iran to change course.
The countries of the world economies are melting down because of this crisis in the Straits. They're going to be buying less Chinese product.
The day after South Carolina's Supreme Court threw out Alec Murdoch's convictions and life sentence in the killings of his wife and son in 2021 over a court clerk's misconduct, State Attorney General Alan Wilson just told Fox they will retry him and...
Well, first off, I want people to understand that our office secured convictions on financial crimes that will keep Alex Murdoch in prison for several more decades. So he's not going anywhere.
America's listening to Fox News.
When disasters hit and cell networks fail, Rapid Radios keeps you connected. Instant push-to-talk with coast-to-coast range. No contracts, no monthly bills. Trusted by law enforcement, government agencies, and over 500,000 users. Always ready when your phone isn't. Because in an emergency, seconds matter, and reliability isn't optional. Go to rapidradios.com, use code RADIO for 5% off, and free shipping from Michigan. Rapid Radios, communication redefined.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Well, they have found the second American soldier who went missing in Morocco, dead.
The body of 19-year-old Army Specialist Mariah Simone Collington has been recovered more than a week after she and a fellow soldier went missing in Morocco while taking part in a multinational military exercise. The body of 1st Lieutenant Kendrick Lamont Key Jr. was recovered earlier this week. Collington was an air and missile defense crew member from Tavares, Florida, who began her active duty service in 2024. Both soldiers are believed to have fallen off a cliff during a recreational hike in their off-duty hours. An investigation continues into what led to the tragedy. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
I mentioned Iran and the U.S.-China talks. Oil prices down about 0.5% today. WTI remains about $100 a barrel. Gas, though, up 2 more cents. AAA's national average for regular $4.53 per gallon. On Wall Street, stocks may surge. Dow futures up more than 300 points the morning after record highs for the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. There was playoff overtime last night, basketball and hockey. In the NBA, Cleveland beat Detroit 117-113 to take a 3-2 series lead. On the ice, it was even more dramatic.
Here's McKinnon shooting one. He scores! The Avalanche tie the game at 3.
On TNT Sports, the Avalanche came back from 3-0 down to force overtime. Where 3:52 went to sudden death, Brett Kulak scored for Colorado. The Avalanche beat the Wild 4-3 and won the series 4-1. Colorado went to the Western Conference Finals. The Avs will face either Vegas or Anaheim. The Golden Knights lead the Ducks 3-2. Vegas can win the series tonight.
That's Fox's Jared Max. Golf's second major tournament of the year is underway. The PGA Championship at Arana Mink outside Philadelphia. Rory McIlroy tees off this hour. Scottie Scheffler plays this afternoon. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Good morning, 7:05. It's News Radio 92.3 on a beautiful Thursday morning. We've got sunshine. It's 67 degrees right now. We'll get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. First, let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Highway 90 is clear from Milton to Pace. Summit Boulevard not showing any accidents. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Trial date has been tentatively set for August 17th for former Escambia Deputy Greg Nesmith, who's charged with 2 counts of vehicular homicide and the deaths